Today's daf is daf Yud Zayin, and we begin from the Mishnah. We've been talking about Shavuot Bitui. That's again a Shavuot where someone says they want to do something, they're not going to do something, or they did or didn't. That was a discussion if expanded that way. And now we're looking at what's called a Shavuot Shav. And the Mishnah begins, a Shavuot Shav Chayv HaMazadot Makot. If someone does it deliberately, the Chayv Makot. However, if it was done B'shogeg, he's completely patur. It's not like a Shavuot Bitui where one is Chayv HaKorban Olevi already. So that's one difference already. But what is this Shavuot Shav? Like, Shav is like empty or in vain. Let's put it that way. So, Ve'ezu Shavuot Shav. Nishpa l'shnot yadua l'adam. If someone makes a Shavuot that is clearly wrong, right? Everyone knows. It's not like he lied about something that he ate food and he didn't deliberately. That's a Shavuot Sheker. Here it's like it's from the outset, it's completely wrong. So, for example, Amar ala amud al shel even shu zahav. He swears that this pillar of stone is made of gold, and it's clear to everybody. Like everyone knows, it's like the obvious. Val ish shu isha val isha shu ish. Similarly, that a man is a woman or a woman is a man. Nishmal davar she'i efshar lihiyot. Or he says something that's impossible. Now, interesting here is this: Im lo ra'iti gamal poreach ba'avir, im lo ra'iti nachash kukurat beit habad. If I didn't see a flying camel, or if I didn't see a beit habad. Beit habad is a press. Now, what's interesting is saying if he didn't say shvua that I saw this gamal poreach, this flying camel. By the way, when we get to the nachash, we'll have to explain exactly what the issue is. We'll get to that in a moment. But he uses it as a tnai. This is where it's a bit of a change from the style of the cases before. Or as we progress through the cases, there's always going to be a change to show the scope of what a Shavuot Shav is. Because in this situation, he's saying, oh, if I didn't see a Gamal Poreach, then that's the Tanai that he's doing, it's making Shavuot to us of all these certain items, like he's saying, the Peor, his Kalim, whatever it is. Now, Tia is that his Kavanah is not to make the Peor Asurim, because then he would clearly just simply say that my Peor Asur. Why is he saying on something that's impossible, if this thing possible is true? So it must be that he's trying to le'amet v'lechazek dvarav. He's trying to say, I definitely saw it, and if I'm wrong, then all these perot should be asur. But once again, it's something that's a shav, so even though that if like the t'nai is shav, it has the status of a shvuot shav. Okay, you can get malchus for it. Let's continue. Amar la'edim, bo ve'iduni. And shvuah, they said, shlo na'idcha. If they say shvuah that we make a shvuah that we are not going to testify, not denying it, where they know the testimony, they're making a shvuah that we're not coming to testify. That's a bittul mitzvah. So again, a shvuah that's against a mitzvah is again a shvuah shav, shvuah in vain, because you cannot do that. Nishba levatel et mitzvah, for example, to not do a mitzvah, shalasat sukkah, shalot el lulav, shalot niach tefillin. These all shvuah shav, shechayven al zeno makot, vashtigegato patur. Once again, these are things that if you did it, if they did it deliberately, and they were warned against making shvuah, they get makot. If not, they would be, that's right, not just not, but if they were, it was shogeg, then it would be a Torah. Okay, let's try and unpack this Mishnah. The Gemara says, shvuat shav, chaval makot. So, another, now this whole piece from here all the way on, pretty much till even the next stuff, it continues and continues, is actually from Nedarim as well. And it's obvious why there's such crossovers. A neder, if you remember, replies to this object is also like a korban, that type of, I'm not sure, oath or whatever it is. And this is the shvuah is regarding an action, a vow. I'm not sure oath and vow, which way around it is, but we know the differences. We discussed the part of the two, but that's why you're going to see many overlapping sugyas. So here it's saying, Tamantanina, this is case, im lo ra'iti b'derech ko'olei Mitzrayim. Someone makes a shvuah saying that in this place I didn't see, like if not, again, it's a tonight that he saw that, like the population that left the Mitzrayim, 600,000 people walking through this, so that I didn't see it. So Gemara says, Efshar shelo Mitzrayim, really, is it really Efshar? Is it really impossible that it's a passageway couldn't have that much traffic? Ela kenan kaimin, it must be. What it means is if I didn't see 600,000 people in one go, which again, that's something that's not possible. The road that could have certainly had that amount of people going through it, but again, that's what it means. That's why it's a Shavuot Shav, that he's saying, I saw the 600,000 people in one look. As you see, Vaha, if you say another proof of this, if you like, is Vaha Doklitianus, Kadnachit Taman, when he came there, Nachat. meaning Bavel, Nachat Imeit brought with him 100 Mea Isrim Ramadan, which is 1.2 million people. That's double Kolei Mitzrayim. Ella, Kinan, it must be. So, in other words, there's a possibility you can have that much massive people moving in one go. So therefore, I'm sorry, Ella Kinan Kaimi must be referring to the reason why Shavuot Shav, that he says, I actually saw, I was able to visibly see the 600,000 people. Next, Imlora Ite Nachash Kukurat Beitavad. Why is that a Shavuot Shav? In other words, if the assumption the Gemara is initially is that it's talking about its size. Vachiv, there was a snake in the time of Shvor Malka. Bala Gamlin Bala Kromia. It was so big it would devour. Imagine a massive constrictor of some sort. Was it would devour camels, devour wagons? Kadbaun, when they wanted to kill it, how did they kill such a thing? It was too big. Aitun pachlin de gemalin. They brought some hides of camels. Umalun yatun. They filled it up with tevin. V'yavbuhu gumrin. They also put in hot, filled it with hot coals. And therefore, when the snake swallowed it up, it was nisraf, ended up burning them from inside. Umit. So you can see, you can have very, very large. These are snakes. I'm not even sure if they would term a snake, but very large are these snakes. So Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Pazi, Chamit Mashach Dechiva Avid Al Tamnei Masustala. That I saw the Mashach, the skin of a snake that was used to cover eight, it says, Korban, he just changes his safsalim as benches, but the Reb Chaim back in the Darim said it was like some sort of midot, some measure. So it was very large. So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Mar Yaakov, Ani Chamin Masha Techivai. I saw the Salik Krovin Lamalka, that it went over, according to Kormeli, that means it's Krovin the Malka, that it was used as a covering for the wagon of a king, or sorry, the Reb Chaim says back it was like a Krovin is like a matana for a king. Again, these are all demonstrations that you can, it's possible to have very, very large snakes. So how can it not be this? Why is it such a surprise to say, why are we saying Akarot Beit Abad that it's a shvuot shav? So we're not talking about its size, we're talking about its shape. That seeing a snake that looked square, if you like, in its cross section, all like a big long block. That's what it's talking about. Like a korat beit avad, that it looked like it. So the Gemara says, v'im merubah ba, if that's the chiddush that's talking about the shape of it, nitni afilu katan. Why did the Mishnah say, like Korat Beit Avad, you know, it seemed to be like Gadol. Why didn't you say even a small dimension? So I'll just show you. See, Im says, Nachash Gadol Korat Beit Avad, which is interesting because Amish doesn't have Gadol, it doesn't have the word Gadol in it. But it doesn't seem to be that was a Kirsa. But the question is, if that's hold the shape, who cares about how big it is? So Amar Rav Yudin Abu Eder Rav Matnaya came the Ella de late Orchat the Tnayin Mitvas Ella Mili Ruba. It seems to be the way the Tana would do it or demonstrate this was talking about large things, in talking about exaggeration and things that are not possible. What's a proof of this? Tanim Gamal Poreach, but the fact that it uses as an example a flying camel. Ba'avir Nitni, why didn't it use another small creature? It could have used Achbar Poreach Ba'avir. It could have used the case of as a Shvuot Shav of a mouse that took flight. But you see that it therefore don't get so excited if the Giras of the Mishnah was Godel, talking of Gadol Kukrepe. I saw a big snake that was like a crocodile. Again, it wasn't talking about the size. It was just using an example of a large snake, just like a large camel that was flying. So too, this large snake happened to be the shape of a sort of a block. Okay, so Tani Rav Shimon ben Yamliel, Omer Ein Murubah Meshishes Bereishis. There's nothing that grows naturally that is square-like. So, or in shape, perfectly. So, Heitiv Rav Barachya, I think we discussed this in more detail, the science of it, a bit last when we did Nadarit. But anyway, Ba'ataninan, Guf HaBaheret Kegris HaKilkili Merubah. When it talks about this minimum size of a Neged Tzaraat, that mark of Tzaraat on the skin, it says the minimum size is Kegris HaKilkili, so a Sicilian bean, right? That's Merubah. And what's the size? Makoma Gris is Tesha Adashot, which is 9 lentils. And Makoma Adasha is Arba Sarot, and it's 4 tes. Nimtza, we're talking about 6, Shloshim Veshesh Sarot. Talking about 6 by 6, so the size would be 36 hairs, if you like, in terms of that's the location. But what's the proof? It talks about an Egyptian bean, a square Egyptian bean. So we see, it sounds like these beans grow naturally square. So Amrad Blisnai says, no. The fact that it adds the word merubah is a proof against you. Kol garma amra she'eina meruba. Because if it was naturally square, all you'd have to say kegrisa kilkali. The fact that it says kegrisa kilkali meruba must mean that this bean is naturally not square. And therefore, why does it say square? Meruba. It's telling you that it must be the size of this the tzaraat has to be, well, different machlok rishonim, but let's say it has to be square. That's the Rambam says it has to be square. The Rosh says no, you have to fit this square size thing within the tzaraat, has to contain it in that those dimensions in order for it to be considered a neged tzaraat. Okay, let's continue. But we're going to try and bring other proofs of things that the Chachamim already saw that seem to be square in nature. So, what about Vaha Chinah? Chinah seems to be some sort of or Kana, there's different girsas here, but it seems to be some sort of plant. So, Male Ukititititri. No, it's full of knots. It's not pure, like pure sort of square like. So, Vaha Aniva de Pila, that's what we have here, or Aviva de Pila. Again, the Reb Chaim back in Nedarim says, again, some sort of plant. So, it says, no, it might look square at the top, but it's Agul Milamata, so it's not cube like. Might have a square surface, but it's not perfectly cube-like. Meima, he's talking about actually creatures, not v'tanich and that it is possible to have square things in nature that you find in food. So therefore, don't bring kashas from these plants. However, we're talking about actual creatures. There's nothing that is perfect square, okay, or cube. Let's have a look at the next part of the Gemara. It says, if someone says they lie and they said we don't know anything about the testimony of the Shvuah, that is what's called the Shvuat Edut, which we will learn about in the coming Mishnah as well, or later on in the Masechta, because that's another category of Shvuah that has its own Chiyuvim associated with it. Shvuah shlo na'idcha, lokim mishum shvuat bitui. If it says shvuah that we will not testify, then it gets malchus mishvuah bitui. Now that's strange because we just said in the Mishnah that if someone says come and testify and says shvuah we will not testify and there's a mitzvah to testify, then it's a shvuah shav. He made a shvuah against a mitzvah. Now he's saying it's shvuah bitui. So Reb Chaim there in Nedarim he explains that the shvuah bitui they're going to be violating here is not that we know that they were present and now they don't want to testify in Beit Din. It's shlo na'idcha means nothing's happened yet, but they made a shvuah not that they wouldn't come to the case to act as witnesses. It's a difference there. And a shvuat shav when you're going against a mitzvah in Torah, that's where they have knowledge of the case and they're told and he tells come to Beit Din and testify. Well, we said in that situation, if they don't do, they make sure not to do so, not denying it. They say we know it, but we make sure not to come to Beit Din. Then it's a shvuat shav. He's going to get mitzvah in the Torah. If they lie, they say we don't know anything about that. That's a shvuat edut, a different category which we haven't learned about. Here we're talking about a different case. Shvuat bitur, we said we will not come to the business deal you're about to do to become a witness. That's and if they violate that, well, that will be a shvuat bitur. Yeah, because no mitzvah to so we come to and we don't know any testimony to come to be present there. Okay, let's continue. Shvuah shel chelkikazu. Now, it's interesting here. The Shino Girsa says this is really placed in the later Mishnah. That's where it says, I will eat the kikar and this I won't eat the kikar. And there's a difference between what's called a shvuat shav and sheker. The Gemara says, shav v'sheker. So, shvuat shav, we've learned about, and shvuat sheker, we've also, shvuat shav we discussed, and shvuat sheker we've touched on as well. Shav, as we said, it's Lashonot Yadu, and sheker is when he's lying. And but if Gemara says Shneim Gvidu Boracha Neemar, why is that? Because in the Dibrot it says Lo, again Lo, according to Korban Eda it says Lo Tzach Lo Tignor, but Lo Tenacha Bera Ed Shav. That's Ed Shav. That's in the second set of Dibrot, and the first set of Dibrot is Lo Tirtzach Lo Tinaf Lo Tignor Lo Tenacha Berachad Shaker. So the two Dibrot you got Shav and Sheker mentioned there. And the Shneim b'dibur achad, no, it was all said in b'dibur achad. We know famously Zachor v'Shamor b'dibur achad, but Shvuah Shav v'Sheker also was b'dibur achad. So Masha'ein ozin yacholim lishmoa v'lo pe ledaber, which the ear cannot hear and the mouth cannot speak. Nonetheless, it was important, it was given together, it was to teach a din. So the Koran goes through all these things and explains what the Chiddushim are by each of them. So in other words, he says, Ein zestirah shnei merav lashmuinam. This is in the middle of Dvar HaMachzeh Merubah. Says lashmuin shelo kinas shav kamo v'sheker. Just as one gets malchut on sheker, it's also on shvat shav. He will get malchus as well. Okay, b'seder. Fine. He brings Havamina's wife, but this is important. We can see that later on your own time. Let's get it. Mechalei amat and then it also says v'yomashavashnei kvasim. You're not allowed to do malach on Shabbos. But it also says that you meant to bring on Shabbos the Shnei Kvasim, meaning the Korbanot. Korbanot Musaf, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Okay? And once again, those will be Dibur Chad Ne'emah. Now, why do I need it to see them both? So to teach the Korbanot off on Shabbos. But there was another thing I want to show you here. He says, Mechale Mot Yumat. Now, the Korbanot says, Mashma Afil B'Mikdash. It seems to be United Malach Mikdash. However, it says, Shnei Kvasim B'nei Shamat Mimim. So that is the Korban Musaf. Kama de ain't says stira b'dura chanimor. There's no stira because the, and it says inami. This is interesting one. Sachli, I would have thought. Koanim lit nehu bechil shmirat. I would have thought that the koanim are therefore not chayev to keep Shabbos who il v'hutru avodah because they're allowed to do avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. Maybe they're not chayev on Shabbos. In other words, exempt from all shmirat Shabbos. Kemash melan delo. That's why they had to be b'dibur echad. Next, lo tilbash shatnez. You're allowed to have shatnez, which we said is kilei begadim, which is again wool and linen together. However, when it comes to tzitzit, where the tcheles is generally done on wool and it's a chiyuv on linen, that we'd see with tzitzit, one can wear that. We can have shatnez. Let's continue. You're not allowed to marry your brother's wife, and it says yavama in the case of Yibum, you can. What's this? What, and it says, "Bidibur achad." No, they're both mentioned at the same time. Why is that important? I'll show you an interesting combination on this one. It says, "Sachalim im girsha achari yibum." You would think that after a man does yibum to his brother's late wife in the context of a mitzvah, and then he divorces her, he wouldn't be able to remarry her again. Yavama yavo meaning shiavama. Once he's actually done yibum, that's why the bidibur achad. That once he does Yibum, even if he falls to marry her again, the whole, if you like, Isur of Eshet Ach has disappeared. Inami, he gives another answer. After Pakami Isur Shelmet, you would think, following on from this, if you like, that once one of the brothers does Yibum, the Isur of Eshet Achiv has disappeared. If he divorces her, Hayabam, maybe another brother from a common mother. Again, it's not related to the brother did Yibum, then maybe he'd be able to do Yibum now because Eshet Achaz, the Isur, has disappeared. Kamash Malan, Ervat Eshet Achicha lo telegele. No. Ervat Eshet Achicha would still pursue, in other words, still endure for the other brothers. Okay, let's continue. Next one. Lo tisav nachala libnei Yisrael mimatel mate, which is the Isur, if you like, of a girl to from one Shevet to marry a boy from another Shevet. Importantly, Reb Chaim explains this piece. That is, if she would be one to be Yoresh, meaning there are no other brothers. So she's Ra'ui to do to Yoresh the father, because we don't want the Nachala from one Shevet to go to another Shevet. But then it says, V'chol bat Yoreshet Nachala. Any bat that's Yoreshet Nachala. Now, interesting context of that pasuk is that it seems to be she's being Yoresh from Shtei Nachalot. Now, as opposed to marrying Shtei Nachalot, that means her mother married someone from a different Shevet. Now, how's that possible? Reb Chaim says, if based on the first pasuk, well, Reb Chaim says that's based on the fact that when the time she married her chasan, there were other brothers around. Then the brothers died before the father, and that's why the mother was Yoresh from her side of the family, from that Nachala, from a different Shevet. And now we've got a daughter who is a product of those two. That's how it seems to be said. However, why do we name Shnei B'dibur Echad Ne'emru? Reb Chaim explained it in Nedarim. He says that such a girl who's a product of, the parents from two different Shvatim, she can marry someone, and she's going to Yoreh or she can marry someone that's again as must do from her father's Shevet, and she doesn't have to find a boy who also happens to be identical to her, having a father from one Shevet and a mother from the other Shevet, meaning the two same Shvatim. So both Reuven and Shimon, she doesn't have to find another boy who happens to have parents from Reuven and Shimon. Okay, that's a Dibur Echad Nemor, that's a Chiddush that was necessary there. That's how Reb Chaim explains the sugya of Nir Shabbos. V'chein omer, achat diber Elohim shtayim lo zu shamanu. So again, this is a type of idea that you can have this concept of the dibur of the mitzvah was being given in a way that was masha ein yifshar peli lelaber v'lo lo ezen nishma, where two, if you like, things can come out at the same time. The omer, as it says, halo kod v'ray ke'esh nu mashem kepatish ifutzatzela, like a hammer that splits apart a stone. So the dibur came into multiple, if you like, zahor shamor. Shavu Sheker, etc. Let's continue. Shvuot Shav. A Shvuot Shav is nishpa lishnotet yadua l'adam. That's when someone is trying to make a Shvuah that is absolutely everyone knows is not the case. This is marble pillar. Like someone said, the kotel is made of gold. Everyone knows the kotel is made of stone. It's a Shvuot Shav. Shvuot Sheker nishpa l'achlif. That would be, for example, about a Shvuah that he didn't eat, and he really did eat. And he did it amazing. We've said before that that is considered a Shvuat Shav regarding the past. That was a whole kash in the dialogue between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shema. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha says, B'shem Yochanan, well, the question is, what is considered Yadua La'adam? So, Kol Yadua L'shnaim, Ze Shvuat Sheker. If it's only known to two people, this falsehood, then that is a Shvuat Sheker. L'shlosha, if it's known to three people, that now it is a Shvuat, gives a change of Shav. So Rav La says, "B'shem Rav La, even if it's only known to two people, ve'achad b'sof ha'olam, and another person on the side of the world, makiro, that would still make it a shvuat shav." It's actually interesting that Rav Chaim says is the question that what's behind the debate is they're trying to understand why you need three people. According to one understanding, it's Kadeshi Farsem. Because just like with Lashon Hara and other things, the three people are necessary to make a Pirsum. So where they're there and it needs to lefarsem et adavar. However, that's a shita that says there has to be three people there. That's the way I explained it. However, the shita that says even if it's two people and one person on the other side of the world, all you need is enough people to constitute Rabbim. So therefore, they don't have to all be present. So, what's nafkamina between them? Mamafka b'neihun. Shina b'fnei shnayim v'ishlichu l'yam. Let's say he did the shinu before someone and he threw it in the ocean. So there's no other way of exposing his falsehood. Hitru bo, and they warned him, mishum shvuat shav. Al dat, Rabbi Yochan ein lokeh, because you need three people present, as we said. Hidei shefarsem, Reb Chaim Sfara. Reb Elazar says, no, you get lokeh, because you don't need them to be present. Meaning, as long as some people knew, one person knew on the other side of the world, even if it's destroyed and burned, doesn't make a difference. Yeah, there was already a rabim, yedia or rabim, if you like, to qualify this as shvuat shav. Hutra ba mishum shvuat sheker. If you warn him mishum shvuat sheker, then it says al date de Reb Elazar loke, al date de Reb Yochanan ein loke. Okay, so I'll just show you here. Hutra ba shvuat sheker. Meaning hadar, meaning hadavar be'epech. The Rabbi Yochanan is yes Malkus, sherei lo noda, in that sense, shenishba l'shav, elishnaim, and therefore it would constitute a shvuat sheker. It's really the same case. Where he again make this false shvuah and threw in the ocean. The Rabbi Yaza, he wouldn't get Malkus m'shvuat sheker because it's shavi, v'lo sheker. Yafe. Let's continue. Rabba says, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, afilu beta umargalita. Now, the term afilu means even in a case. When someone said that like an egg is a pearl or something like that, Gemara says, what's a chiddush? Why is that more of a chiddush of a beitza and a pearl? Either its appearance or size, different things like the different shots here and exactly what went wrong. But why is that more of a chiddush in the other cases in the Mishnah? So Gemara says, no. Ela kagon beitza or margalita. Meaning this is defining, according to Reb Chaim, this is defining when something's yadua lakol. However, if it's something more subtle, that's when you start needing three people. But if it's like a beta or margalita, then everyone knows that type of thing. Everyone can discern between what an egg and a pearl is, so that you don't need to have identified three people to know this. Let's continue. Or three people present. Okay. Tani, keshem shenidre havai mutarim, kach shvuat havai mutarim. So nidre havai is when someone's magzim, when someone is exaggerates. Okay? That, you know, he makes an edge to a billion people, Mashu Kaze, right? So, just as that's mutar, it's not really a neder, so to shvuat havai mutarim. The Gemara says, one second, shvuat havai asur. What are you talking about? We just saw in our Mishnah, Here it seems to be equating Havai with Shav, where I saw a camel flying, or something like that. We say that is Chai Mishum Shvuot Shav. So what are you saying? So Rav Yirmiyah says B'shem Rav Pab Parat, Kam B'Mamidin, Kam B'Sheinu Mamidin. The difference between them is Mamidin means that he really certainly was absolutely, he was for sure thought he saw a camel that was flying. Or he for sure thought he saw 600,000 people. That's a Shvuot Shav. Malchus, get out of here. However, if it's is just exaggerating, didn't really mean it that way, that's a like a Shvuot Havai, if you like. However, what the Gemara continues, no, afilu tema kan ve kan b'mamidin. You can even say where they're both saying with certainty. Kan b'meichl shvua al nechasav, shvua nechasai alai, nechasav mutarim, halil kot einu loke. So what this means is, halokin loke, so it should be. If I'm not mistaken, let me just double check that. Halokin loke, so you have to change the whole girsa. Meaning, nechasav mutarim, halil kot loke. That's the two changes, as opposed to asurim haloka in loke. So in other words, what it's saying is, with this shvuah, where the person said, yeah, I'm telling us all this flying camel, and he's making out, and if I didn't see it, then all my, I'm making shvuah, they're making all, I'm not going to get any hana from my property. That's what he's saying. In that situation, yeah, it's a shvuat shah, meaning, he clearly didn't intend, like we explained in the Mishnah, he didn't intend to make his property asur, because if he really wanted to make his property asur, he would have said, my property is asur to me. Okay? So, since his intention was never that, therefore we say that, okay, his property is therefore mutar, it's not affected. That's what we mean mutar. Mutarim doesn't mean whether it's mutar to do or not, or whether you get malchus or not. It's referring to the property that was a subject of such a net, of a shvuah. However, would he get malchus? Indeed, he would get malchus. Halil kot, loke. He'll definitely get malchus because that's shvuat shav. Similarly, let's continue. Kashem shenidrei zeruzin mutarim, kach nidrei, kashvuat zeruzin mutarim. Now, a nidrei zeruzin is, if you remember, that's when the people, it's a case of a business negotiation where someone's trying to sell, the seller wants 20 and the buyer wants 10. They're both really happy with 15, but the seller says, if I go underneath 20, this it makes a neder. And now it says, if I go above 10, that makes a neder. Now, no, not, they're both really happy with 15. They're just using it in a negotiation context. That's another case of a neder that doesn't stick. So, Kishem nidrei mutarim, sakacht nidrei zeruzim mutarim. So the Gemara says, no, o dehil mamecha shvua al nechasav. Shvua nechsa alai, nechasav asurim, halilkot, well, probably the other way around, nechasav mutarim, halilkot loke. Again, same type of girsa change. Okay. In other words, this is a nidre. It's a shvuat shav still. Okay, and because of that, we say he would get malchus. But once again, even though it was again because I should say it was a concept of zeruzim, he never really intended to make his property asur, just like the case of the gamal that's flying. Now the Gemara says, Cheski Amar hahen mishtava al trei inun trei. Till now, we've been saying, you know what a Shvuot Shav is? A Shvuot Shav is when it's blatantly obvious he was lying. Meaning, not just lying, but it's empty because it's completely false and it's well known to absolutely everybody. Again, if someone says, the Kotel is made of gold. Well, currently, everyone knows it's made of stone. I'm not sure if things will change, but stone. Now, the Gemara says that even if someone says that two, it makes a Shvuah that two is two. So in this situation, he's not saying that it's false. He's saying that it's true, but it's obviously true. It also has a substance of a shvuat shav, meaning this shvuah is absolutely in vain because there's no purpose in making a shvuah such a thing because it's quite clear that two is two. Okay, so we said lo kem b'shvuat shav in that situation too. So Rav Menachem says b'shem Resh Lakish and dechamim mitra nachim. If someone sees it raining, v'ha'amar kirei pilei. Berichson or Berikshon. There's different gears exactly what he's doing. According to the according to Reb Chaim, actually, he says this follows on with a Captain Obvious. Meaning if he sees it's raining and it says there's been good rain, something coming, and he says, oh, you know, now prices will be cheaper. It doesn't take a genius to work that out. So therefore, if it makes a shvuah in those lines, that's also a shvuat shav. So but I'm saying that the reason why I'm saying it's perishes like this, as opposed to other perishes that says it goes back to ways of saying things are completely wrong, and obviously wrong, because this fits in with a trei un trei, like two is two. Okay, let's continue. We'll just get to the Mishnah. Rav Chunya said, Rav Yaakov Bar Bun says, B'shem Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, Esrim Ba'al Arba Buliot. This is like Kfarim or sort of the hamlets or something like that. Hayu Ba'Darom in the south. V'kulam Charvu, and they were all destroyed al Shvuat Shav, because it seemed to be making Shvuat Shav was a prolific problem. Which was Shiamet. Now, Shvuat Shav Shiamet, meaning this situation where they said they weren't making Shvuat Shav that obviously was false, but they're making something that was saying a Shvuah regarding something that was obviously true. Dichtiv l'shavi keiti epneichem. Because of Shav, Shvuat Shav, they I struck your children, meaning those areas were destroyed. Okay, b'seder. Have a good Shabbos, everyone. We'll continue Mitzvah Hashem for the mission next year. Kol tov.
Shabbos, thank you.